Hi, this is Kevin Craig with an update on Mary Beth Craig's condition. In case you hadn't heard, back on February 29th, Leap Day, a tornado swept through Branson and destroyed her home. But I'm happy to report as I record this around the 4th of July that she's completely recovered from the effects of the tornado, although I'm not quite sure she's recovered from the effects of the hospital that she had afterwards. But let's go back to that fateful night, and I'll talk to you about the details of that and tell you about her condition up till today. It was in the early morning hours, about 1:30 when the tornado hit. I have to admit, I was working on something else. I could see a storm coming. We have a really nice view. You can see a storm. They usually come from the west, and you can see the lightning off in the distance, and you can see as they come approaching toward our house. So I knew a storm was coming, so I wanted to get some stuff done on the computer before I shut it down, because I always turn off the computer when I see lightning coming, because, well, my sister, she had her house directly hit by lightning, and it fried their computer up something fierce. So I always make a habit of getting stuff done real quick when I see lightning in the distance, so I can get my computer turned off. So I was working on the computer, and unfortunately, I wasn't watching the news on TV. I wasn't listening to the radio. When I first moved to Missouri from California about 10 years ago, I used to have a radio on downstairs, which always had the weather reports from the National Weather Service on, and whenever one of these weather reports would come on, there'd be this big obnoxious noise, which you could hear all over the house. But, you know, it's the case of the boy who cried wolf. So many times they would say, there's a storm, there's a tornado, there's something, and nothing ever happens. So you kind of, after 10 years, you're just not listening to the radio anymore, and I don't even think the radio was on. Anyway, I wasn't paying attention. So you could tell there was a big storm coming, though, and after a while, in fact, let me go back a minute. A couple years ago, we had a tornado that was very close, and I was listening to the radio very carefully, because it was a bad storm, and it just happened I wasn't doing anything that night, and was listening to the radio, and in fact, I even brought the radio upstairs to my mom's room, Mary Beth's room, so that she could hear that this was a very severe storm, very, very close, and at one point, I mean, it was a tornado in the area. At one point, they said it was near the local town of Kirbyville, and then the guy on the radio says, those of you in power sight, you should now be getting in your shelter. And I said, Mom, we better get in the shelter. And she says, I'm not getting in any shelter. You know, it just meant going into a walk-in closet in her bathroom. And so I knew she was sort of stubborn about getting into shelters, even if I knew there was a tornado coming. So anyway, on that night, you could tell there was a big storm coming. And then eventually the power went out. That happens occasionally with big electrical storms. We live in power sight, of course, where you can see the dam from our house. We've got a really nice view. It's a deck goes outside, and there's the dam right below, not right below, but off to the whatever direction that is, the north. And so it's a nice lake that we've got a view of. In fact, the view is more than 180 degrees because it kind of bends around the edge there. But it seems like we get power outages even though we're right there in power sight where the dam, the water is still going, still should be generating electricity, but the power goes out. So anyway, the power went out, and I was sort of getting a hurricane lamp just to get some light on the subject. I think I'd gotten a flashlight out of the little drawer by the front door. And I hadn't been listening, so I didn't know that there was a tornado warning. I didn't know there was a tornado actually approaching. So anyway, it started getting pretty frenzied. It was, you know, we've seen bad storms when Peter, my mother's brother, was living at the house for a while because his wife Darlene got a broken ankle. And there was a really bad storm. They called it a microburst. And it pulled out a big, huge, big tree close to our house, and it was really something. Although we have a view that goes all the way across the lake, really nice view, during this microburst, you could not see past the edge of the deck. I mean, it was just blowing leaves and water and everything all over the place, and it was just, wow. So the problem with our house is it was a really, really nice house, very, very well built, and triple insulated. Just more insulation than anybody needs. The walls were extra thick. It was just extremely well insulated. They say that a tornado sounds like a freight train. Well, we could have had a freight train going by and we wouldn't hear it. That's just the way the house was. So I couldn't hear anything. It was, like I say, 1:30 in the morning. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't tell there was a tornado coming. But there came a point in time. Now, I should say, Mom and I were just having dinner. We're night owls. I mean, chronically night owls, and she's worse than I am. I would usually be fading by 3 or 4 in the morning, but she didn't go to sleep until dawn, 6 or 7 in the morning sometimes, it seems like. So anyway, we were having dinner at our usual hour, 1:30 in the morning, something like that. And it takes me, her health hasn't been good since she was hit by that pneumonia that she had in 2008. So it's usually a matter of me sitting there coaxing dinner down here for more than an hour it takes to get a meal down her. So we were sitting there at 1:30 in the morning having dinner, and the power goes out. I could tell it's a bad storm. And then all of a sudden something happened. It was a weird feeling. The pressure changed. I could start hearing things like little wind coming through the corner of the big living room where we were sitting, and right in front of the big glass windows that and the big double door that goes out to the deck where you can look out over the lake. And I could see this was no ordinary storm. This was a bad storm. So I said, "Mom, we're getting in the closet. We're heading down the hall." So I picked her up. And that right about when I picked her up and stood her up, because she can't really walk without my helping her a lot. So I picked her up and I was going to start walking her down the hall. And that's when everything just kind of broke loose. First, the double door that goes out to the deck kind of blew in right in front of us. And I didn't realize it at the time, but we have this huge, big, I guess you could think of it as an A-frame that goes from the front of the house to the back of the house. And when I say the back of the house, I mean it goes over the deck. It's a big, like a cathedral ceiling where the two slopes come up to a tall angle above you. And that big, tall, angled roof went from front to back out over the deck. And the tornado, the wind, apparently just picked up that big arched roof that stuck out over the deck, and it blew it all over the neighborhood. That whole roof was just picked up and blown all over the place, but not everything. I mean, we still had ceiling. We had some trusses and things falling down on top of us. Anyway, that was right when I grabbed her up and said, "Let's go." So I didn't think we'd got hit by anything. I mean, we could have gotten really hit. It's just amazing that we just didn't have more injuries than we did. Apparently, all I remember was that the window blew in front of us, and that turned a otherwise quiet living room into a real messy, windy, wet, and icky place. And then stuff falling down. I don't really remember much. I remember the next thing I can recall is that we were on the floor, and I was trying to find out, you know, was she okay? She said, "Yeah, she's okay." I could see there was some blood, though. We'd both been hit by a bunch of stuff, probably stuff blowing around as much as anything falling down on us. But anyway, I also noticed at that time, at that moment when I could see what was going on, that I had forgotten that she was hooked up to her intravenous feeding pump, because we've been giving her for the last couple of years a bag of water every day, a bag of fluids to keep her from getting dehydrated, because she just doesn't drink enough water, certainly not on her own, and it just... It didn't happen very well that I was able to get enough water down her. So the doctor said, "Well, let's hook her up." We had a PICC line in her arm, and she was hooked up to the pump while we were eating dinner. Now, it's a good thing that we got that I didn't in the thinking about this tornado. Oh, something's happening. Something's going on here. Let's go into the shelter. I grabbed her up and I stood her up off the couch and I started walking her down the hall. Didn't get very far though, because then everything blew apart. But if I'd gotten her down the hall, I had forgotten that she was hooked up to the pump. So I probably would have ripped out that IV line out of her, that PICC line out of her arms, and that could have been a very bad thing. So it was a good thing that the next thing I remember, we're on the floor. So anyway, I realized that, we'd been hit pretty hard. So I thought maybe I should go call 911 or something, because like I say, I did see some blood, although it didn't look like anybody, either of us, had been hurt very bad. And she said she was okay. And I think I trusted her answer at that point. So I said, "Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to call 911? Because the power's out." It had been out for 5 minutes before the tornado hit. And I didn't really realize it was a tornado. I just thought, you know, this was one of these microburst big storm things. Anyway, so I said, "Well, there is one of these traditional landline phones." All of our phones were these wireless things, which have to be plugged in, but there's no power, so they don't work when there's no power. But we did have one traditional old dial-up landline, and it was in her room, her bedroom, which is on the other side of the house. So I picked up the flashlight and said, "I'm going to be right back. I'm going to call 911, I told Mary Beth. And so I started going down the hall, a lot of debris all over the house. I could see this was a big, big mess now. And I opened up her bedroom door, and it looked to me like her bedroom was gone, because I was looking out at our neighbor's house. And the whole wall of the bedroom was gone. And that's where she would have been sleeping if it weren't for the fact that we were a night owl. And I don't think she would have survived that, because like I say, that I'm looking at my neighbor's house right now as I opened up her door, and I didn't see the phone anywhere. It was on a nightstand next to her bed, but I didn't see a nightstand, so that was a bit weird. So I go back out to the living room, and I say, well, it's getting cold now. This is February. It's getting wet because there's no more roof. So I said, let's just go out to the car. I'll turn on the engine because we weren't going to have any heat with the power off. So we picked her up and carried her out to the car, which was out in the front yard, and turned it on. And I went back into the garage, which had been relatively unhit, it seemed to me. And we had a storage closet in there. I knew there were some blankets in there that we never used. So I grabbed those blankets and started getting her toweled off and warmed up, sit in the car, turn on the heat. And let's see, I think the next thing at this point, I was knocking on our neighbor's door, is letting them know we were going to try to get to the hospital, because I didn't know how bad we were. The neighbor went out and looked around, and of course their trees had been blown all over the place, all around the place. And he said, you're not going anywhere because all the roads are blocked. Big trees are falling all over the place. So I just said, well, I guess we'll just wait in the car. And, you know, we were talking, Mary Beth and I, and she was alert and fairly conversational. And it was interesting watching all of our neighbors. Now, I have to admit, I'm still a city kid. And we don't have a chainsaw, so it was nothing for me to do, really. But most of our neighbors did have chainsaws. They were more Missouri rural types, and so pretty soon all the neighbors are out with their chainsaws, trying to cut the path through the trees so we could get to the hospital. There were a few other people in the neighborhood who were hurt. It's amazing. It could have been much worse. It's just amazing. I don't think anybody died. I think we had a broken leg somewhere in Branson, but it was surprising how few injuries there were. Our house was pretty much not very good. And our neighbor's house that I was looking at when I opened my mom's door was pretty much untouched. They got some stuff in their outside their house moved around a bit, but their house did all right. On the other hand, the house on the other side of my neighbor's house, so we're looking at three houses in a row. Our house was hit. The next door neighbor's house wasn't. And then the house on the other side of my neighbor's house, it was totally destroyed. So, but apparently either they weren't there or they didn't get hurt very bad. I don't remember. But anyway, the chainsaws are rolling. It's taken a couple hours, really, before we can get a path. The ambulance shows up at our neighborhood, our power site, little village or whatever it's called, but they can't get the truck through the trees to us, so it's just a matter of us cutting through the trees. They had some paramedics come by and look at me and my mom while we're sitting in the car and put a bandage on us and you know, some of the cuts on our forehead. We didn't realize at the time that my mother had been hit and broken her collarbone. And of course, I don't remember anything big hitting us, and it could be that she hit, I don't know. You know, I just don't know when that broken collarbone happened. And she had some other dings on her head. One of them turned out to be pretty bad or risky anyway. When we finally got to drive to the local hospital in Branson, they looked at her head and they said, well, she's got a hematoma, blood on the brain. So they put her on a helicopter because all the other ambulances were busy and flew her up to Springfield. So that's the tornado. And now let's talk about the hospital part. When they got her into the hospital, it wasn't bad. I mean, it just really wasn't that serious. It's just amazing how much worse it could have been. When you imagine all the various bad scenarios that could have happened, it just was amazing. It just cuts and scratches, except for her broken collarbone, and then she did get a ding on the head somewhere, but. Up at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, they were looking at that over, and nothing really they could do. They just wanted to watch it. One of the doctors, though, when I was up there, commented on how everybody in the hospital was looking at the picture, which I never did get a picture. I never did get to see it, but the doctor said everybody was just sort of amazed that the little spot of blood on her brain was a perfectly formed he said it was a heart-shaped, shaped just like a heart. And I assume, of course, that means not what doctors think of when they see a heart, one of these ugly muscles with tubes and stuff, but, you know, the symbol of a heart. But anyway, I never did see that, but the doctors commented on that. But while she was there, and I have to admit, I was spending a lot of time dealing with property, making sure that the insurance people were on the scene pretty good. The insurance company has been very good to us so far in all this. But I sort of trusted the hospital, but that may have been a mistake, because I realize now what happened is that they would bring a tray of food into her. And like I say, for the last couple of years, I've been having to really coach her and get her to eat, and sometimes almost spoon feeding her. She just doesn't eat enough as she should. And they didn't have time to do that. They didn't have the time to spend, you know, sitting up at 1:30 in the morning and taking a couple hours to get her fed. They'd bring a tray in, she wouldn't touch it, then they'd take the tray away. And I just don't think she ate anything for the first 4 or 5 days after the tornado. And I don't know, she seemed to have gotten weaker as a result of the hospitals. Anyway, after her stay in a hospital, there's nowhere they can take her. So insurance and Medicare and everybody else are saying, well, we have to put her in a nursing home. As I look back, it's sort of a good thing that I didn't get her into the closet, where we would have been absolutely unscathed. It turns out that closet in the center of the house, in the big walk-in closet in her big bathroom off of her big bedroom, was untouched, just totally untouched. There wouldn't have been a scratch on us. However, then what am I going to do with her? I spent the next 3 weeks or so in a motel. I don't think it would have been, well, I spent a week at my Uncle John and Velma's house. And then they had kids coming down, because on the very day of the tornado, John Ray had an appointment with his doctor in which he found out that he had pancreatic cancer or some kind of stomach cancer or something. And he ended up dying just a few weeks later. But the tornado was a busy day for us and for them. And then that next week, they had company coming. You know, all their kids were coming because they got the bad news. So that meant I was only able to stay at their house for a few days. And then I went into a motel. And it would have been inconvenient, to put it mildly, for me to have to carry my mom around. And literally carry is the way it works. She just wasn't walking at all on her own power. So it's actually a good thing that she was just slightly injured enough that I could take her to the hospital and say, hey, our house was destroyed by a tornado. Can you check her out? And then they looked down, she had some blood on the brain, so they had to watch her. But she wasn't really injured hardly at all. It was just like for observation. But then they realized that they weren't feeding her very well and stuff, so they wanted to put her in a nursing home. My sister was looking for nursing homes to try to get her into, and they all said they weren't going to take her unless she was on a feeding tube, because they didn't have time to feed her. Well, there was an argument about that, but eventually that's what happened. They put her on a feeding tube, a tube into her tummy. So that it was convenient in a sense, but also that's been a major change in her life, and maybe not for the worse. Although it's, anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the last few months, she's actually gained 5 pounds. So maybe the feeding tube has been a good thing in that sense, in that. It gets the food into her more directly, and I think she's a little healthier. And I would like to think I was successful, but I know I was having a hard time getting her to eat anything. It was just frustrating. So now she's getting enough to eat, and she's also getting enough liquids that she's not too terribly dehydrated. So in that sense, it's a good thing too. So lots of good things, I guess. Anyway, a whole lot of things could have been much worse, but they were better than they could have been. So the insurance company, like I say, very good treatment, Liberty Mutual. And they sent an army of movers in, and they moved everything that was salvageable out of the house, put it in a storage building. Well, actually, we had like 10 storage units. We have a lot of stuff. Mom and I are both chronic pack rats. So anyway, boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. All of it's labeled, unlabeled. It says, this is box number 249. But anyway, it all goes into storage. They also sent another company that picked up all of our linens, bedclothes, clothing, drapes, everything, cloth. They took it all down somewhere in Arkansas, laundered it up. A month later, we got all these huge big boxes full of clothes that had all been washed. Hanger after hanger after hanger of things that had been dry cleaned, apparently. What a big deal that was. I'm sure that was an enormous, exorbitant expense. Anyway, We got moved into a nice little duplex in Branson, close to where Peter used to live, off of Fall Creek Road. And that place looked like a storage unit at first, because everything that was in the storage units was just brought in here. And Amy and I have been going through it, and you know, I've been making trips to the thrift store. We've just been thinning out a lot of stuff that this would have happen sooner or later. Might as well happen now. Boxes and boxes of stuff that we never use, stuff in the garage that we never touch, just a bunch of stuff that we'd have to get rid of anyway, a lot of extra clothes. I worked for years at a homeless shelter, and I picked up a lot of boxes of clothes that I used to pack up stuff, just old clothes that even the homeless didn't want, and used it to pack up stuff on our move from California to Missouri. Well, I just stuck all those boxes of clothes in a corner somewhere. We had lots of corners at this house in Powerside. It was a very big house. And so there wasn't really an incentive for me to try to decide whether I take these to a thrift store. Do I just throw them out? I just stuck them in a corner. So it's funny, the insurance company moved a lot of stuff that I just had ready to go to the dump or go to the recyclers or go somewhere. And they cleaned all these clothes that were headed for the thrift store or something like that. So anyway, just boxes and boxes, floor to ceiling boxes. I mean, we had lots and lots of boxes. But we finally got the place ready for Mom to come home. The insurance and Medicare and everybody else gave her 100 days in the nursing home where she was. The nursing home is a story. There's a lot of nice people in the nursing home, but it's still kind of just a medical bureaucracy. There were times when I went there that she just wasn't, they forgot to turn her feeding tube on. I mean, you know, she'd go with the better part of a whole day with nothing to eat. And she got a couple of bed sores there, and they weren't making her walk to the bathroom like I made her walk across the house and so forth. So she just got weaker and weaker. Now she's just really not walking at all. We do have a physical therapist coming, in fact, later today, but I don't know if it's even possible for her to get back to her fragile state that she was as far as walking. I mean, I was able to walk her, and someday she'd be able to walk pretty much unassisted with a walker, but she's not walking. She's just a bag of beans right now. So the nursing home, I mean, she gained 5 pounds, but she didn't get any stronger, that's for sure. And they're just, in many ways, she just wasn't getting good care there. And I've talked to a few nurses who have seen her since then, and they're not surprised at that. They're just appalled at nursing homes. And so anyway, it's funny. Mom used to play piano at another nursing home, which is owned by the same company as the nursing home she was in. And she would go play piano for the old folks, and you know, it was kind of a work of mercy, and she always would say, I don't ever want to go to that place. Well, that's where she ended up. She ended up in a place just like that because it's run by the same company. And I tell you, it was very, very depressing. It was just hard to see, hard to take, see her in her wheelchair, stuck there with all these, well, you know, the folks she used to play piano with, and she didn't know if they could hear, she didn't know if they were listening, didn't know what they were getting out of it at all. And now she's in a room with the same kind of people. It was sort of depressing, really, to see her in that place. But couldn't get her in a house. And it was actually, with all that was going on after the tornado, it was helpful to have someone to look after her. I understand that. But anyway, she's back home now. The place is looking pretty good. We've got a lot of things that hopefully she remembers, and we're back to our routine now, sort of. A little bit different. But like I say, she's not walking around much, but we're trying to get her to keep exercising and keep moving about a bit. So we'll see how things going. Anyway, she's completely healed from the tornado. Another incident in the hospital, her veins, poor, I mean, you know, she gets so many IVs and so many blood tests and all kinds of things, and her veins in her arms are just so thin and fragile anyway, even without all the poking. And they decided to put a line into her neck, into her jugular vein, I guess. And at one point, her hemoglobin count was low, so they said, we're going to give her a couple units of blood. Whenever the sign of blood comes up, I kind of find my way to the hospital cafeteria or something. I don't do very well with blood. So anyway, my sister was there, though. Amy says, well, you know, you better watch her because she's not 100% coherent. She's just not 100% mentally present all the time, and she feels that funny stuff going in her neck. She's liable to protest in some way. I don't know, but you better keep an eye on her. Well, I guess Amy left And she was unattended except for the nurse who put the IV in and then started the blood going through some kind of pump. And then the nurse headed down the hall for something and came back, and Mary Beth had pulled that IV line out of her jugular vein and was a big puddle of blood all over her bed. So that was a mess. And all for the next couple of weeks, she had, because she was on Coumadin for her AFib, and so her blood was real thin anyway. And then she had just massive blood bruises all over her neck and collarbone area from that little incident. So, like I say, she survived the tornado, and she barely survived the hospital and the nursing home. But anyway, she's back home now. And anyway, I thought I'd record the whole story here of all the tornado details and the nursing home details. And if you have any questions, we'd just get on the phone. My telephone number is 417. Don't go by old phone numbers, because all our old phone numbers are no good anymore, because all those phone jacks, they're gone. The house now is pretty much, it's been demolished, I think. We had the front. From the front, it looked all right. I mean, you could tell there's a big, big old hole in the middle of the roof. And the whole, my mom's bedroom was, you could tell that was gone. But the front of the house almost looked like you could just kind of like rebuild maybe or something. But the insurance company sent a structural engineer out to look at it. And he said, nope, this is toast. It's leaning. Demolish the whole thing. So I think just this last week, I haven't had a chance to go over there. I've been over to the old Powerside house maybe twice in the last month. So I'm not able to see the day-to-day progress, but they apparently have demolished the whole thing down to the foundations, and they're going to rebuild everything. That's another story about what's going to happen with the house. It's not exactly sure. Anyway, my phone number now, forget every old phone numbers, forget any phone numbers you have. The new phone number is my cell phone, 417-598-8303. Give me a call, ask a question, I'll be glad to talk with you. But I thought, oop, there's a phone now. I thought I'd give you an update, and then you can call. Hold on a minute. Okay, that was the home health care people. I have some friends, and since I'm sort of locked here 24/7, I can't really leave unless I get somebody to, you know, be the mommy sitter. So whenever I need to have somebody, if I need some groceries, for example, gotta either have somebody go get the groceries for me or come here and babysit. Unfortunately, most people would rather go get the groceries for me. Nobody wants to be here to babysit because they're, you know, they're always afraid something's gonna happen on their watch and they won't know what to do or something. So I'm landlocked here. But anyway, there was some friends of mine wanted me to come to their church on Sundays and a Bible study in the middle of the week, and they were offering to buy me some nursing or babysitting services from our home healthcare people, the people who come out here. We have a nurse comes out once a week. We have a bath aide that comes out to give her a bath a couple times a week, and we have a physical therapist that comes out. And they also offer other kinds of like babysitting services, but they charge extra for those. So this group wanted me to be able to come to church. I don't think they realized, I think a little pricey, more than they expected. Anyway, that was the home healthcare people calling about that little episode. So we've got the bases covered here. Things are going well. The insurance company, like I say, has helped out a lot. I don't wish this had happened, but it's an interesting development, a chance to get a lot of the closets cleaned out. And anyway, give me a call if you have any more questions. I'll be happy to answer the questions. But I thought if I recorded this little audio that I could tell the story once, and then everybody who was interested could listen to the whole story and then, call back with any other details. I appreciate very much the cards and other gifts that you all have sent, and I'd like to hear from you. But I'm sort of reluctant to call people. I know my schedule is often rather topsy-turvy, and it's embarrassing when you think, I'm at the peak of my day, let's call so-and-so, and it turns out it's midnight or 1 a.m. That's kind of embarrassing, so I hate to call people. But you're welcome to call anytime, because I have to, she doesn't move much at all in bed, so I'm under orders to move her every 2 hours. And then, you know, there's other things I have to attend to every so often, so it's I'm up all the time. So you call anytime you want, and I'd be love to hear from you and answer any questions you have about how she's doing or anything else you have. So thanks very much, and look forward to talking to you, any who would like to call. And thanks very much for your prayers, your thoughts, your cards, your gifts, and everything else. This is Kevin Craig, and I look forward to hearing from you. Bye.